Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. We live in a world where there are many distractions. Perhaps like me, you might have the BBC News app on your phone. And you know what? Every time some major piece of information comes out, the phone bursts out into this jingle and you can immediately pick up your phone and see what's been happening in the world. In many ways, these kind of distractions, modern technology, are great things. They keep us in touch and they can offer us opportunities that our forefathers could only dream of. Yet if we're not careful, these distractions take over our life. Sometimes I find myself looking at the news several times a day, and it's not as if it's going to change, and it's not as if I can do much about it. And sometimes this distracts me from the things that I'm looking to do. And of course, this might happen in our lives as well. Things that might be basically good things actually distract us from the way that God wants us to go. It could be the want for a new car, a new house, clothes. It could be the need for a nice holiday. Whatever it is, good things can sometimes take over our lives. In our reading today, we hear the story in John's Gospel of Jesus overturning the tables in the temple. And it was the time for the Jewish Passover, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. And in the temple courts he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. And what he'd seen is that the court of the Gentiles in the temple, far from being a place to welcome people into the house of God, had turned into a money-making market. Yes, there might be good reasons to raise money. They had a huge building project to do. The way of life of the Jewish religious ways needed to be maintained. And maybe people felt it was good to make money. But actually, this money making had consumed the temple and had taken it over. People had become completely distracted by what was going on and had turned the court of the Gentiles into a money-making venture. And of course, this is something that can happen in our own lives. I remember at university in the Methodist Society, with the other Christian societies, we used to run a Wednesday hunger meal. And what it was, you'd have bread, butter, maybe a bit of cheese and a tea and coffee. You'd pay a couple of pounds and the profits would go to a charity. And the idea was you make a small sacrifice to have maybe a very basic meal in order to donate some money to charity. But of course, different groups used to run this meal, and slowly but surely it became more and more elaborate. In fact, there used to be a bit of competitiveness about who could do the best meal. And slowly but surely, the profits from the meal went down, and the meal became more and more extravagant. And I remember the letter we got from the Catholic priest saying, maybe we've lost sight of what this is all about and the reason why we started on this in the first place. And so back we went to the bread, butter and a bit of cheese. Sometimes that happens in our own lives, doesn't it? We get a job to earn money, to help our family, to support ourselves. And that's a good thing to do. But we have to be aware that that job doesn't become all-consuming and actually take us away from family life and take us away from the things that Christ really wants us to do. We need to have that focus on what Jesus asks us to do with our lives. Jesus goes on in the passage and they asked him, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And the Jews replied, it's taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Jesus was ushering in a new way of doing things. He'd seen that the religious hierarchy and what religion had become in Jewish society at that time had been corrupted. It had become very legalistic. It had become very political. and it had lost sight of the people that God loved so much. He was bringing in a new way, a new approach to God. In Lent, this is something we need to think about. What should our approach to God be? What does God want us to do with our lives? Lent is a time for us to reflect on that, to reflect on where Christ is calling us and where he wants us to go, and what do we need to renew in our lives. It says in John chapter 2, verse 21, "But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said." The temple was the center of Jewish worship. It was where people used to make a pilgrimage to. They would journey to the temple. It was so important to go to the temple during your lifetime, to the center of Jewish worship. But Jesus was turning this on his head. He was saying it's his body, it's Jesus who becomes the center of our religious worship now. And indeed, the church, as a congregation, as a community, as a group, is the body of Christ in the world today. We are the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit works through us to do God's will. And it's so important, therefore, that as members of the body of Christ, we are not distracted by things that might take us away from the power of Holy Spirit, that might block the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're consumed with the need for success, for power, whatever it is. As members of the body of Christ, we need to be focused on Christ. We need to understand what he wants us to do. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, because if we do, people will see that Christ is alive in this world today. And they will see him being a beacon to communities that need to see his love in these difficult times. So as we reflect on what God wants us to do, may we pray that verse from Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.